and I have no financial disclosures to make. All right, so I'll talk sort of at a high level about the four strategic approaches that CMS is using in terms of addressing health disparities. I'll give a couple of examples of some agency-wide activities and plans that are going on, and spend most of my time talking about work that is being conducted through our Quality Improvement Organization program in their current contract. So our overall goal at CMS in terms of disparities is to improve the health and quality of care for minority Medicare populations. We've done disparity work in the past, but in preparation for the new QIO contract, we've sort of refocused our efforts, and in April of 2007, we assembled a group called the CMS Health Disparities Forum. The primary purpose of this group is to focus on four strategies to improve clinical results for underserved populations through our QIO program. We also use that group to engage in discussion with both public and private healthcare stakeholders. This slide shows the four strategies that the Healthcare Disparities Forum is focusing on. They are data, intervention, sensitization, and messaging. And I'll be, throughout the talk, be giving a couple of examples for each of these and the ways that we're planning to implement them in our work. In terms of data, our goal is to improve the race and ethnicity data collection to better assess healthcare disparities. The current level of data that makes racial and ethnic distinctions leaves a lot to be desired. A lot of our work depends on data collected through the Social Security Administration, and we're doing some work to improve that. In interventions, we want to implement intervention models that improve the quality and the access to care for underserved beneficiaries. For sensitization, our goal is to make providers and consumers and other key stakeholders more aware of the disparities that exist and of some mitigating strategies to reduce those disparities. And then for messaging, we want to communicate to both national and local stakeholders the work that we're doing and try to engage them to assist in these efforts. All right, so now I'll give a couple of examples sort of at the agency level at CMS as some things that we're doing along these lines. The first has to do with data, and I mentioned that the current main source of racial ethnic data is through the Social Security Administration, using a process that was approved by the Office of Management and Budget. We're currently in discussions with them for ways to improve the way that that information is collected to better allow us to target intervention strategies for health disparities. We're also using something called a race imputation model, which takes the current multiple racial ethnic categorization that's collected through the SSA and tries to convert that into single categories that are more useful for research and quality improvement. We're exploring the use of alternative data collection tools that may improve our ability to narrow down more specific ethnic groups. And the focus of all this is to improve the captured data to better describe and assess disparities in care and to appropriately target and tailor intervention strategies. Another area where we've been having some discussion is in the area of clinical trials. Our goal is to improve the enrollment and retention of Medicare beneficiaries in high-quality clinical trials. Many of you may know that most clinical trials have a really low representation of ethnic and minority groups, and therefore it is difficult to extrapolate the results of these trials to those groups, and so there's a lot of uncertainty about recommended care, evidence-based care for these underserved populations. So we're trying to improve that by increasing Medicare beneficiary participation in these trials. At the sort of overall level, we're trying to educate providers on the Medicare policies which allow Medicare beneficiaries to voluntarily participate in the trials and encourage the conduct of research studies that add to the knowledge base about efficient, appropriate products and technologies for Medicare patients. But also in terms of disparities, we're currently in the process of developing a strategic plan to address health disparities in clinical trials. In terms of our messaging approach, We're working with internal and external stakeholders, primarily through the Healthcare Disparities Forum. These include the Office of Minority Health, the Agency on Aging, ARC, and the NIH. And we're trying to increase program participation and to ensure service to communities through federal agencies, national partners, and local organizations focused on disparities. But most of the work that we're doing is through our Office of Clinical Standards and Quality, and we're emphasizing our Medicare contractors and primarily our quality improvement organizations. We're planning eventually to include our end-stage renal disease networks, which also do quality improvement work, to help us to facilitate these strategies. We've also awarded a special QIO support center contractor that will provide at the national level support for the work and also serve as a communication vehicle on the disparities work that CMS is doing. All right, so now I'll switch over into some more details about the Quality Improvement Organization program. For those of you who don't know, Medicare contracts with QIOs in all 50 states in the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. The goal of these contracts is to protect the Medicare beneficiaries, to improve the quality of care, and to make sure that the services rendered are necessary and reasonable. In this slide, it shows the different types of work that QIOs are tasked to do in the current contract, which began August of this year. So there are six different themes. Three of the themes, these are our patient safety theme, which is focused on surgical processes of care, nursing home indicators such as pressure ulcers and restraint reduction, trying to avoid the overuse of antibiotics, and also looking at methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. Those are being done in all QIOs across the country. There's also statutorily mandated beneficiary protection work that's done by all QIOs, and this involves review of complaints by beneficiaries and informing beneficiaries about their Medicare rights. We also have a theme called CORE Prevention, which is focused on colorectal cancer screening and mammography, as well as immunization for flu and pneumococcus. And these are being done, again, in all 50 states and the three territories throughout the QIO program. But we also have three themes that we call our subnational themes. These were awarded on a competitive basis, and they're not being done in every state and territory. And these include prevention work related to chronic kidney disease, a theme called care transitions, which is looking at ways to improve the continuum of care and the transfers of patients between settings of care in an effort to reduce readmissions to the hospital. And then the final subnational theme is the one that's focused specifically on healthcare disparities in diabetes, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that as we go on. Even before this current contract, the QIOs had been doing some work related to disparities, and in their previous contract, they did work related to the CLASS instrument, which is the Culturally and Linguistically Appropriate Services tool. In that work, QIOs worked with physician practices to try to get them to assess their current capabilities in this area and to improve that. And during that work in the 8th scope of work contract, they engaged 1,625 physician practice sites. 837 of those completed the CLASS instrument, which was 94% of our goal for the QIO program. And so we think that this helped to set the stage a little bit to sensitize the provider community to the importance of cultural and linguistic aspects to care, and this will help to prepare them for future disparities work. Now, I mentioned the subnational theme for the QIOs in their current contract is related to diabetes. The reason for that we selected this topic is diabetes is a very important condition to Medicare. It's the fifth deadliest disease in the U.S., and it's associated with a number of other important chronic conditions, such as high blood pressure, heart disease. Diabetes is the leading cause of blindness, and also amputations. It's a very costly disease process overall and for Medicare, and there are over 20 million cases nationwide, and those are just the ones that are detected. There's also a high number of undetected diabetic cases. But importantly for the disparities work is that diabetes does not affect all groups equally. And in fact, There are certain racial ethnic groups that have a much higher rate of diabetes. These include American Indians and Alaskan Natives, non-Hispanic Blacks, and Hispanic Latino Americans. All of these have a higher incidence and prevalence of diabetes and are at higher risk for complications. So that was the reason that we selected diabetes to focus our disparities work. So I mentioned one of our strategies for disparities is using data. And so our first step in approaching the development of this task was to first identify where the diabetic patients were in the Medicare population. We used the Medicare fee-for-service claims data to identify those with a claim for diabetes. We also made use of what we call a surname imputation model, which looks at the beneficiary first and last name and tries to use that as supplemental information for assigning them to the appropriate racial ethnic group. We found 33 states or territories that had at least 5,000 Medicare beneficiaries with diabetes that were in one of these underserved populations. Next, we wanted to look at the quality of care for diabetes to further target the work that we're doing. And so we looked at three quality indicators for diabetes, again using our claims data. These were testing for hemoglobin A1C, testing for lipids, and a diabetic eye examination. We merged these three indicators into an aggregate measure we call the appropriate diabetes care measure, and we looked at this across the country, stratifying by race and ethnic groups. This allowed us to identify sort of the states with the highest need in terms of low performance on these quality of care measures. And you'll see that there were five states marked in red that showed the highest degree of need or the biggest gap in care related to these measures. So we had now a set of states that had a large enough number of diabetic patients, and we knew which states had the greatest need. And these were two important factors as we competed the work across the QIOs to select those that would be actually conducting the work. So in addition to these, we looked at the proposed intervention strategies and sort of the way that the individual applicants proposed to address the target populations. And we ended up awarding the work to five QIOs in the states listed on this slide. And so they will be the ones who began the work in August of this year and will be doing the work over the next 3 years. So the work they will be doing is under an effort that we call Every Diabetic Counts. Again, this began in August of 2008. And part of this is recruiting diabetic Medicare beneficiaries to be involved in the project. Those who are recruited will be provided diabetes self-management training through certified diabetic educators using community health workers based on a training model known as DEEP, which stands for the Diabetes Education and Empowerment Program. This program is a CMS-approved education program that was developed at the University of Chicago. We also look at three clinical outcomes for these diabetic patients, and these are the management of cholesterol, blood pressure, and receiving diabetic eye examinations. Also in this approach, and I mentioned that we'll be using community health workers, this is modeled after a study by Babamoto, which looked at the use of community health workers to facilitate diabetes self-management education in a group of African-American and Latino subjects. And that study showed good results using that approach. We also took information from a pilot study that was conducted in Florida during their last contract by the Florida QIO. And the goal is to use evidence-based diabetes self-management education for these underserved populations and thereby implement culturally appropriate community-based diabetes management programs. All right, so what's next? I mentioned this work began in August, so they've only been doing it now for a couple of months. But it will be extending through their three-year contract as long as they are successful in meeting their evaluation metrics. We also want to communicate our national message about health disparities broadly through national and local stakeholders, which is one of the reasons I'm here talking to this large group this morning. We also want to perfect our strategy for recruitment, not only recruiting the diabetes patients to receive the self-management education, but also recruiting the local stakeholders and the community health workers to work with the QIO to facilitate that process. All right, so for a public health audience such as at this meeting, CMS is looking to you to assist us in our work. You can partner as a trusted source of information to spread the word about our current efforts. You can volunteer in your local communities to talk about diabetes care and also the work the QIOs are doing in those five states. You can speak at forums and meetings and other settings. And you can also help to inform our Healthcare Disparities Forum, either by being on the technical expert panel if you have specific expertise in that area, or by submitting ideas and suggestions. But in general, we'd like you to work with CMS on ways to better educate the public about healthcare disparities and ways to overcome them. I mentioned we have a national support contractor, and their toll-free number is given on this slide. And that's all I have. Thank you very much.